Hello. Today on The Word, news of an online book club being launched by Azar Nafisi. The Iranian scholar who's reading Lolita in Tehran was an international bestseller. And a book that explores the mysteries of language from its earliest expression to its most up-to-date.
K-U. K-U. What was the H-W-K?
Perplexed? Don't worry. All will be explained. Before that, though, to Edward St. Aubyn, a novelist whose first three books, now collected in one volume called Some Hope, were praised by critics for everything from their beautiful writing, through their deep intelligence, to their gruesome wit. And dark their humour certainly is. The novels present us with three different stages in the life of an upper-class English family, the Melroses. There's the ferociously sadistic father, who, among other horrors, rapes his small son. There's the useless, drug-addicted mother, and there's the son, Patrick, who, unsurprisingly, grows up to be a junkie himself. But now, in Edward St. Aubyn's new novel, Mother's Milk, Patrick Melrose has sobered up, married, and himself become a father. The novel opens with the birth of one of his sons, seen from the infant's point of view.
Why had they pretended to kill him when he was born? Keeping him awake for days, banging his head again and again against a closed cervix, twisting the cord around his throat and throttling him, chomping through his mother's abdomen with cold shears, clamping his head and wrenching his neck from side to side, dragging him out of his home and hitting him, shining lights in his eyes and doing experiments, taking him away from his mother while she lay on the table, half dead. Maybe the idea was to destroy his nostalgia for the old world. First the confinement to make him hungry for space, then pretending to kill him so that he would be grateful for the space when he got it. Even this loud desert, with only the bandages of his mother's arms to wrap around him, never the whole thing again, the whole warm thing all around him, being everything.
From Edward St. Aubyn's Mother's Milk, in which Patrick Melrose tries to keep his balance as all around him people lose theirs. His terrible father may be dead, but his mother has discovered a spiritual guru and moved him into the family home. And as for Patrick's mother-in-law, well, she takes obtuse self-centeredness to new heights. So, a less than agreeable family. And when Edward St. Aubyn came to the BBC studios here at Bush House, I asked him if he was so interested in them because in some way they resembled his own.
Yes, I think that I write about the things that I can't get off my mind, and it's as simple as that. And my family were the most available and the most urgent material that I had to hand. but I do think it's also true that everyone has had some experience of a family or the absence of a family, you know, and so it is an inherently universal theme.
The Melroses, as your family did, belong to a very specific class, the English upper class. In your earlier fictions, you've written about it with a certain amount of vitriol, the kind of mores of this class. You seem to have mellowed a bit in Mother's Milk, and I wonder whether it's because, you know, you're just getting mellower as you get older, or whether the English upper class has lost over the years the power to be important enough to hate.
I don't know that I'm making that kind of sociological observation, although I think our class obsession in England is on the decline, but only at the expense of becoming fascinated by celebrity. And instead, it's like a sort of methadone program for getting us off our class addiction. But I think because Some Hope, my trilogy, was about the formation of the central character's identity, Patrick Melrose's identity, it had to deal with the issue of class, because anyone brought up in England has to read their identity partially through the question of class. And by the time he's become the father that he is in Mother's Milk, that's no longer an issue. He's no longer concerned about his formation, but about whether he can contribute to his children's formation without deforming them through the legacy that he's had in his own childhood. I think that one of the themes of Mother's Milk is the extent to which having young children around turns adults into children and reactivates their own childhood.
Well, very specifically, mothers. I mean, the mother's milk in this novel is pretty curdled, not only is Patrick's mother, and his mother-in-law for that matter, sort of poisonously self-obsessed, but even his wife, who is evidently a much nicer character, has curled herself round her two little boys and excluded the rest of the world, including Patrick, from her concerns. And there is a feeling in the novel that, for you, there is no good way of doing motherhood, that it in some way or other, being a good enough mother just isn't a possibility.
A good enough mother. I think that's got to be the ambition. And I think, to give credit to Patrick's wife, you know, that she would like to do that, but she's deformed by her own childhood as well. And the novel is, to some extent, about how people can come into balance after these depth charges of having children and having all this material deeply buried in themselves brought to the surface, how they can come into balance when they deal with all those things.
This novel opens with the most extraordinary sequence, very funny, very beautiful in a strange way, which is Patrick's older son Robert describing his own birth, the moment when he arrives in the world. And I mean, I loved it, but I was very interested to know why you decided to write from his point of view.
Well, I wanted to give each member of the family a point of view. There's a stable narrator, but there are four points of view in the family for each member. And Robert turns out to be trying to appropriate his younger brother's experience, because in fact he can't remember, like any of us, being born, but he's just witnessed his younger brother being born. And so it's the kind of expression of sibling rivalry. He doesn't want to steal his brother's toys, he wants to steal his experience and his memories by pretending that they're his own.
He's an extraordinary child, Robert, because even at the age of five he's already suffering deeply from nostalgia. I mean, he wants to be just being born himself. In fact, he'd like to be back inside his mother's womb. But he's not the only one in the book who's doing that, because even Patrick's mother is suffering from some kind of will to return to primal innocence, which is how she's managed to get involved with this terrible new age con artist. And it did occur to me to wonder if that was actually our problem in the affluent West, that we all yearn to be very small children again.
Yes, I think that is exaggerated in our society, but I think there's a natural movement towards independence and then back towards dependence. I can see it in my own children, you know, doing something very daring. They then want to be comforted and held. So I think that goes on throughout life. People take risks and then return to whatever it is they find secure, if there is anything they find secure. But yes, your more general point about an infantilizing of people in an affluent society, I think, comes through in the new age con artist, as you call him.
If some hope was about suffering and the consequences of suffering, would you be able to sum up Mother's Milk in a pithy sentence like that?
I think that one thing that it's certainly about is about both extremes of life, you know, about infancy and about, in the case of the grandmother of the child who's born in the opening scene, post-stroke senility. And so it's about two worlds which are without words, and I was very drawn to the subject because I wondered what kind of consciousness there was without words in an infant's mind or in the mind of someone who could no longer speak. And so, no, I haven't had as much practice as it's just come out.
Edward St. Aubyn talking about his new novel, Mother's Milk.